singing, guys. You can have a seat.
Hey, Gateway, Matthias here. So I got to make a confession to you guys. I don't know if this is weird or not, but right before I made this video, I was sitting in my office. One of the cool things I get to do in my office is while I'm working, a lot of times I listen to music, and I was just listening to some worship songs, some of the songs that we've seen here on Wednesday night, and had them cranked up, kind of singing my heart out. And again, this is my confession. Like, I'm not a great singer, but I do this sometimes. Like, I do this in my office. I do it in the shower. If you ever see me driving my truck by myself, sometimes I'll just be singing in my truck, and I just love to sing songs. Sometimes I'm just struck with how good God is, and I love to sing about Him. And yet, I was thinking as I was doing that in my office today, as much as I love doing that by myself, there's nothing that compares to doing that together with you guys here on Wednesday night. And so I'm thrilled you guys are here. I hope you've enjoyed tonight so far, just singing songs to Jesus and celebrating together. And quickly, I want to give you a couple quick announcements. The one thing I need to tell you about is baptism. So I keep hearing these rumors that some of you guys are thinking about getting baptized, and that's really exciting to me, and I want to help you get ready for that and answer some of your questions, just kind of wrestle with the heart behind baptism. And so if you're interested in getting baptized at all, let me know tonight, or talk to one of the other leaders. If you're kind of nervous to talk to me, just grab one of them and they'll bring you over to me, and we can talk about getting baptized. The other thing I want to let you know is that in your bulletin tonight, there's dates for summer camps. ETV is July 7th through 13th, and Dunes is going to be July 22nd through 27th. And so I know we're going to talk a lot more about these in the coming weeks, especially after spring break, but this is what you need to do. Like, take out your phone, text your mom the dates. Let them, your parents think about them. Get these dates kind of secured in your schedule this summer so you can make sure and be to camp with us. The other thing to tell you about is small groups are happening this week. We want you to come and hang out with your group on Sunday night. And the big message that you need to hear is this Sunday night, you guys get a chance to meet some really cool people. So I gotta show them to you. I don't know if you can see this picture or not. This is Mike and Angie Johnson, and they're good friends of mine. In fact, 17 years ago when I came to this place, Angie was one of the first people I'd met, and been a good friend of hers for a long time. And her husband, Mike, are getting ready to go to Indonesia as missionaries, and they just have a really cool story to share about their lives and why they're doing this and how God has set them up to do this. And I think it's something that I love these people, and they're good friends of mine, and I just sit and talk to them, and I just think to myself, I want all you guys as students to hear from them and know about them. And so this Sunday, if you're in the Washougal High School house or the Camas High School house, they're going to be there sharing their story. And if you don't get to hear them this Sunday, they're going to be in the other houses on March 24th. So keep your eyes out for them. I'm excited for you to meet my friends, and I'm glad that you guys are here tonight. So why don't you guys pull out your Bibles, and we're going to get to work tonight.
Sweet. Hey, all right. So after that video, wake yourself up. Wake yourself up. I know this can happen. I put myself to sleep. So actually, turn to a friend next to you and just tell them, just shake them. It's okay. Just tell them you're glad that they're here. Give them a little bit of that. Okay. Yeah. Hey, you're in the front row. Wow. All right. That's enough. The other thing that I want you to do, if you do have a Bible with you, I want you to open to Acts chapter 1. And if you don't have a Bible with you, it's in your notes. And if you don't have a Bible at home, I would love to give you one. At the end of the night, it would be our gift to you just to say you're awesome. And more than that, like, we want you to have this so that you can read and learn about Jesus on your own. And so if you don't have a Bible, come see me afterwards. But here's the thing. So tonight, here's my fear. Is what we're going to talk about tonight. My fear is that many of you guys are just going to kind of shrug this off and set it out here as like, this isn't what I'm thinking about in my life right now. Like, I got something urgent. I got some stresses in my life. I have some you know, big decisions or something's happening with my parents or a boyfriend, a girlfriend, whatever, you know, like Matthias, talk about that. Talk about something that I'm feeling tonight. What we're going to talk about is something that you're not probably feeling tonight, but it doesn't mean that it's not important. And so one of the reasons why you have like leaders and teachers, coaches, parents, things like this, what we often do is we have the responsibility to take the things that are urgent and put them out in front of you and say, like, I know you don't feel this is urgent, but it is, okay? And so tonight I feel like that's my job to do, to show that to you guys as we look into Scripture. And so I'm just going to ask God for help with this, and then we'll jump into this. So why don't you close your eyes and pray with me? And we'll ask God for some help. Jesus, it is good to be here, Lord, to sing about you, to think about you, to be together in doing that. And so we thank you for all the people that you did bring here and new faces, God. And we just admit that it's very easy for us to take things that feel big and to make them huge and to take things that are big and to set them aside. And God, we are sorry that we do that, and tonight we don't want to make that mistake. And so, Lord Jesus, would you lead us tonight? Would you help us engage in the things that you have to say to us and help us to see our lives accurately? And God, as you speak to us, I know, God, we can take some of these things in different ways, and so I just pray for the leading of your Spirit to give application, direction to each and every person here in this room, the things that they need to hear tonight. We thank you that you love to speak to us. And so, God, we invite that of you. In Jesus' name, amen. So, when I was in fifth grade, I started Little League Baseball. And I wasn't one of these guys that grew up playing T-ball before I even really like knew the rules about baseball and all that kind of stuff. I didn't do that. I didn't do T-ball and everything. Fifth grade was actually the first year that I got to play baseball, like, on a team. And so it was a year of a lot of, like, firsts, right? Because this is your first time out for baseball. And so I had my first strikeout, which was kind of lame. And yet I also had my first home run. I hit five of them my first year, so that was awesome. Thank you. Sign autographs later. And so, like, you know, I had the first time where the ball was hit to me, and I got to make a play, and I made my first error, too. I don't know if it was on the same play or not, but I got hit by a pitch for the first time. This is always something that you get to enjoy in baseball, like, especially when fifth graders are pitching at you, like, they're not good, and so they pitch at you. And so all these firsts happened in Little League this first year. The other first that I got to enjoy in Little League was the first fundraiser that I was ever a part of. I don't know if you guys like fundraisers. Do you guys do these things? Like, this is what happened when you join a club or a sport or whatever. Usually, as being a part of that, you have to raise funds for something, right? Do we do this? Hey, how many of you like fundraisers? Just raise your hand if you like them. Okay, how many of you despise? And that's a strong word, despise. So this is my category. Okay, you can put your hands down. I do not, I'll just say it up front, I do not like fundraisers at all. And so in youth group, we do one a year. That's it, right? We do this auction. The goal is to make as much money as we can on one night because Matthias does not like fundraisers. And so that's what we do in youth group. We do an auction. If you're a cheerleader, you do car washes. I don't know what it is. Cheerleaders just do car washes. That's what they do. And Girl Scouts, they do what? They sell cookies, right? And so Little League Baseball, what we did is we sold candy bars. And this was awesome because they were good. And so I remember, like, how it went down. My coach, he kind of told us about it beforehand, a couple weeks beforehand, and then there was the day. And so after practice, they had all these boxes, and we each got to take like two boxes home, and they were full of candy bars. And our job, our our goal is we were supposed to go like to our neighbors and friends and people like that, and we were supposed to sell these candy bars for $1 a piece. And for every candy bar we sold, Little League got money for like bats and umpires and things like this. And so I remember at practice kind of getting this, and I was actually pretty excited about this because I could just imagine, like, I could think of people, I could think of my neighbors, I could think of people at church, and I just could imagine that once people found out I had 2 boxes of candy bars for $1 a piece, that they were just going to be knocking down the door to get these things. And so getting in the car after practice, I was pretty excited. Now, by the time I got home, all of my emotions about this whole thing changed. So like in the 5-minute drive home from practice, like I began to think about how this was going to work, that I had these candy bars and I was going to sell them, but I realized to do that, I actually had to talk to people, right? And this was, like, this was not exciting to me, that I was going to have to, you know, get on my bike and ride around my neighborhood and knock on people's doors that I kind of know their face, but I don't really know them. And I was going to have to say, like, I'm selling candy bars. I was going to have to say that over and over, and I was going to have to do this. And honestly, like people could say no, right? I was kind of a shy kid, and so by the time I got home, I was honestly terrified about this whole experience. And there was just a thought in me that it's going to be a couple weeks from now when we're supposed to turn in our money for all these candy bars, and I was going to be the one kid on my team that didn't sell anything. Like that's how I felt all of a sudden, that there was no way I was going to be able to do this myself. And I don't know if you've ever been there or not, in a fundraiser. I mean, to me, like this whole weight was on me, and I carried it for a couple days. I remember going to school and thinking, at least I could talk to my teacher about this. And so I brought my 2 boxes, and I put them in my backpack, and I brought them on the bus, and I got to school, and I realized that I had 4 other kids in my class from Little League who were selling the same thing, and had already talked to my teacher, and it didn't feel right for me to go up and talk. So I'm driving home, and I'm just defeated on the bus, thinking, like, I can't believe this. Like, when am I going to do this? And so we brought them to church, right? And I remember, like, at church, all these people, like, I'm cute, like, I'll just smile, and I got these boxes, and I was hoping that my mom would help me and say things to people, and it just didn't happen. Like, I carried these 2 boxes around at church all Sunday long and didn't sell one. And this is, yeah, I know, this is sad. Like, this is why I hate fundraisers. And this was just the weight that I carried, that this was something that I should do, that I had to do, and I really had no idea how. And I don't know, I mean, some of you guys selling candy bars, you're like, this is easy, I could sell them all like that, and I know, so I'm different than you, but here's why I tell you this story. I tell you this story because what we're going to talk about tonight, what I find is that many followers of Jesus, as we start talking about making Jesus known, proclaiming him, telling people about our Lord and Savior, that when we talk about sharing him with other people, I know for most followers of Jesus, it feels like me selling candy bars, right? It's something that you have to do or you should do and you want to do. I know in circles like this, as we talk about this, that you can think about people in your life and you can imagine them wanting to know about Jesus. You can imagine them in this setting, right? Or at camp with you, and that they would actually say yes if you invited them to it. And you can imagine them being interested in following Jesus, and you know that they need that, and so you want to do that, but the reality is when you get up and go to school tomorrow, you'll either forget about it, or it will feel like me carrying around some boxes of candy bars. It'll just feel like this weight. Like, it won't feel right. It won't feel natural. It'll kind of be awkward, and how do I start a conversation like that? And what do I do? And we just end up not doing this at all in our lives. And here's what I want you to know tonight. What I want you to know is, first of all, if you feel that way as somebody who loves Jesus, if you struggle with this, then you're actually kind of normal. Like, this is a common thing. But the problem with it being normal or common, what a lot of us do is, because it feels heavy and it feels awkward and it feels like an obligation, what we do is we kind of set it out as something that, like, this is what the super Christians do, right? Like, this is what varsity Christians, like people that grow up and they want to be like missionaries, or they want to be pastors. And so they got to figure this out in high school. Like, they tell people about Jesus. But for me, I'm just trying to figure out how to not be angry, or not to lust, or not to lie to people all the time. And so it just feels like it's unimportant. And we set it out there as something maybe later in life when I grow up with Jesus, I'll do. And what I want to tell you is, while it's very, very common for us to feel like this, that if you tonight, if sharing Jesus with others, if making him known feels like a burden, an obligation, a weight, if it feels like me selling candy bars, then there's something that you do not fully understand about what God wants to do in you and through you. Like, there's just some things for you to learn. There's just some things for you to look at differently, or to recognize differently in your life. And so tonight, that's what I want to do, is I want to kind of talk about that. I want to, first of all, I want to talk about what God is doing in the world. Because what God is doing in the world is, God is saving people. And so if you're new to coming to youth group, or if you're new about learning about Jesus, what you need to know is that Jesus came, and he exists as our Savior. That the thing that God is doing in this world is, he is saving people. That we realize that people on our own, we disengage God. Like, our tendency is we walk away from God, we're uninterested in him, and we want to just do our own thing in life. And with that comes consequences. Like, the reality of the world and the heaviness that we feel, and some of the pain and some of the insecurities and fears, like, we learn that this is a result of people not following God. And yet God, when he sees us doing this, and when he sees us disengaged from us, God, he doesn't just write us off. Instead, he loves us and he pursues us. This is what the Bible says. And he pursues us to be our Savior. And Jesus, when he comes as our Savior, and he comes to save us from some things. First of all, he comes to save us from our sin. From these things that we do to hurt God or to hurt one another, these things that God is not designed us to do, when we do them, they affect our lives. Like, again, the emptiness, the insecurity, the pain that we feel are a result of our sins. And not only this, like, because we sin against God, there's a punishment that we deserve there. Like, God is a just God, and he needs to deal with sin and disobedience, and yet what we find is that Jesus comes to save us from that, so that when we die, instead of experiencing eternal punishment for our sin in hell, because of Jesus, we can be forgiven, and we can be right with God, and we can be saved from that punishment for heaven, to be with Jesus forever. And we can be saved from the effects of our sins and the patterns in our sins. And you remember a few weeks ago, we talked about all the labels that get put on our lives, a failure, or not good enough, or these things. Like, Jesus comes to save us from those things. And this is what he's doing. But he's not just saving us from things. If you were here last week, we talked about this. He's also saving us into things. That Jesus, when he comes and when we receive him, we don't just receive his forgiveness, we receive an invitation into his family, his body, the church. That instead of being isolated and disconnected, that through Jesus we can have a home, we can have a place where we belong, where we're known. And Jesus saves us into something, but what you need to hear tonight is Jesus also saves us for things. That he is doing a work in this world. And he is pursuing people, and he is loving people to save them from sin and save them into his family, the church. And the way that he's doing that is through you and I. That Jesus, when he saves us, he also saves us for a purpose. That we get to participate in the work that he is doing in the world. Do you guys have your Bibles at Acts chapter 1? I want to read this. And I want you to hear this from Jesus himself. This is what Luke writes in verse 1 of Acts chapter 1. He says, "In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen." So here's what's happening when we start reading the book of Acts. What's happening is Jesus has died on the cross and he rose again. And Luke, the guy who is writing this book, he also wrote another book. It's the book of Luke. I know this is great. And so Luke writes the book of Luke. And what Luke, is that a lot of Lukes? Okay, so and what Luke writes about in the book of Luke is he writes about what Jesus did while he was here. And so in that book, you can read about Jesus' birth, you know, and Mary and Joseph, and he's born in a barn, and you can read about some of the things that Jesus taught and some of the things that he did for people, how he healed people, how he was at work in the world, and you can read about his death on the cross, and you can read about the fact that he rose again, and this is all written in this first book. And then in the second book, that's a former book he's talking about, and then as he picks up the book of Acts, what Luke is going to do is he's going to write about what happened next after Jesus rose from the dead. What happened with all the people who were following Jesus at that time? And this is what he goes on to say in verse 3. He says, "After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days, and he spoke about the kingdom of God." And so one of the things that Jesus was really committed to after he rose from the dead is that his followers would see that that's real. And so Jesus showed up, and they got to experience all of these things with Jesus. Like they got to see him eat food, right? And they got to touch him, and they got to see that he was a real human being, that his body had died, but now he is alive. And Luke says they saw all of this. And not only did he show him those kinds of proofs, it said that Jesus also taught them. And this is what we learn about God, is that God doesn't want to leave us guessing in life, that God actually, he wants to give us the information we need. He actually wants to guide us in our lives, and he wants us to understand. And so Jesus was committed to that for these men after he rose from the dead. And what he talked about most, it says about his kingdom. That Jesus was committed to teaching them about what he was going to do as an alive Savior and King in the coming weeks, months, years, throughout the rest of the world. And so in verse 6, these guys ask a great question. It says, when they were gathered around, they asked him, "Lord, at this time, are you going to restore the kingdom of Israel? Are you, all these things that you're talking about, is this going to happen now, Jesus?" And in verse 7, this is how Jesus responded. He said to them, "It's not for you to know the times or the dates that the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And so Jesus, he talks a lot about what he was going to do or what was going to happen next. These guys kind of say, what is going to happen? How is this going to happen? And Jesus says, well, the good news about me, the stories about what he has done, they're going to be shared with the whole world. That's kind of the idea when he says Jerusalem and Judea, Samaria to the ends of the earth. That would be like if Jesus was here in Washougal, it would be like him saying, well, you know, Washougal and Camas and then Clark County and then the Northwest and then like the rest of the world, like Asia and Africa and Europe, that from this point, the good news about Jesus was going to go out through the whole world. That it wasn't just going to stay there. And Jesus says, this is my plan, that the world is going to hear about me. And then he kind of looks them in the eyes and he answers the question of how the world is going to hear about Jesus. And he says, it's going to happen through you guys, right? Or he uses the word, you're going to be witnesses. I want you to circle that word, right? Because what does it mean to be a witness? Does anybody know? Okay, you see something happen, and what do? Yeah, okay. Were you going to add on to that? Yeah, they were there, they saw things, they experienced things, and then they share those things, right? This is what a witness does. It's one who shares about what he or she has seen or experienced. And so they're asking about Jesus, what's going to happen next? And Jesus says, the good news about me is going to be spread throughout the whole world, and here's how it's going to happen. You're going to tell about what you've seen and experienced. You guys are going to begin to share about me and what I've done. And this is going to happen and trickle throughout the whole world. And so if you know how the story goes, this actually happens. Like these men, they begin to tell people about what they saw with Jesus and what they experienced. And it wasn't just the facts about Jesus, that Jesus died and we saw him alive and he said he was God. It wasn't just the facts about Jesus. They also told their stories. I used to be a fisherman. And I met Jesus and my whole life changed. And now my goal is to tell people about Jesus. Or I was blind and now I can see. Or I used to not be able to walk and then I met Jesus and now I can walk. Or you get a guy like Paul who says, you know, I used to bully people that followed Jesus. I used to be mean to them. I wasn't excited about what was going on, and then I met Jesus, and now I tell people about him. They weren't just sharing the facts, they were sharing about their experiences. And as they do this, the gospel does go out through the known world at the time, and not just through the known world, but through the next generations of people. Like as people continue to kind of spread throughout the world, what we find is that the good news about Jesus continues to spread. And if we read history, that there's many people at great cost. Like there's been times in history where people were told that they would be put to death for telling others about Jesus, and they did it anyways. That people experienced things from God, that he changed their life, and they could not help but tell other people about this. And this has happened for thousands of years. Until us today. I mean, just think about this for a moment. Just think about why we're here tonight. Like, one of the reasons why we are here tonight is because people throughout the years have experienced Jesus changing their lives and they told other people about it, who told somebody else, who told their kids, who told their kids, who told this person over here, and somebody told you, right? And this is why you're here. This is why you follow Jesus, because somebody took a risk. They had experienced God do something in their lives, and they told you about him. And now we have the opportunity, or you guys have the opportunity, to join in that amazing thing that has happened since the day of Jesus, and not just take God's work just for yourself, but also to share it with others